asking, what must I do to be saved? That they may confess unto you, Father God. Father God, that they may be saved from their sins. And Lord, we just love you and praise you. We praise you for your mercy. We praise you for your love, your kindness, and your grace, and all things that you bring. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Of the Lord. What a day the Lord has made for worship, for fellowship, for just sharing the joy of knowing who he is and that he has owned us as his children, his disciples, his servants, his friends. I draw your attention today to the second letter to Timothy from the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 to 19 in the New King James Version. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. I want to use the theme, have proper identification. Have proper identification. As much as we would like to think that as Christians we have the dominant and definitive voice on the issues of the day, we are really just a part of a great clamor of philosophies, ideologies, and theologies asking for a hearing. Within our own Christian community, there are raging debates, splintering disputes, and denominational divisions that specialize in doctrinal differences. These days, people wear many different badges. They sit in several camps, and they cross party lines whenever it suits them. It's getting harder to figure out who's who and what's what. Perhaps that's why I rejoice over the refreshing good news that in the midst of this storm of ideas and multiple affiliations, nevertheless, the foundation of God is sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. I've come to encourage you this morning that in this day when so many want to be identified with some cause, want to be recognized as part of some movement, want to be heard as a spokesperson for an ideology, philosophy, or theology, I want you to have proper identification with the Church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is founded on the life, death, and resurrection of him who is the rock of our salvation. As I surveyed the pastoral counsel of Paul to his sons in the ministry, Timothy and Titus, as I listened to his witness and instructions to the churches that are the fruit of his labor, I hear the urgency with which he admonished the household of faith to have proper identification. Paul wants the Christian church to stand up. He wants the church to stand out. He wants to encourage the kind of witness and service that eliminates any confusion about who it is we belong to and whose word it is that we believe. When Paul writes this letter to Timothy, he is aware that there are some self-appointed, self-anointed religious leaders in the community, purporting to bear the same seal as ministers of the gospel of Christ, but whose message to the church betrays the fact that they do not stand on the right foundation. Paul calls them by name to make sure there's no mistake about who he is referring to. He says their names are Hymenaeus and Philetus. They are not names to be remembered with the honor with which we call to mind Paul and Silas, Barnabas and Apollos, Timothy and Titus. They are not sons of Paul. They have not sat at his feet to benefit from his insight and be trained by his expertise. They have not walked where the disciples walked and heard for themselves the gospel that it might be in their hearts. But they are going around anyhow, Hymenaeus and Philetus, in the name of Jesus, telling folk not to hope in their resurrection because it has passed already and they should have no expectation of being raised up when they die. Their heresy has robbed, overturned the faith of some who were weak. But those who are properly identified stood firm on the word of Christ Jesus, who said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hymenaeus and Philetus cry, Lord, Lord, like other members of the household of faith, but they are not faithful to the promise of Jesus. that inasmuch as Jesus was resurrected, he, having all power, would deny the grave victory and raise them up that believe on his name. How dare these impostors attempt to disturb the very ground and substance upon which the Christian church builds its hope and faith? How dare these impersonators pass themselves off as men of God? I suppose every profession has its quacks, those who want to be identified with the profession but don't have the suitable credentials. Hymenaeus and Philetus are uncommissioned clerics. They are unauthorized ambassadors. They are what Dr. William Augustus Jones calls prophets without portfolio. They do not have proper identification. The witness of the Apostle Paul leads me to emphatically declare that proper identification with the Church of Jesus Christ requires, first of all, one's own conversion. Paul says in that 19th verse that everyone that names the name of Christ departs from iniquity. In that word, it sounds like Paul is likening conversion to a journey, moving from one place to another, but being led by a different guide. At other times, Paul talks about having the inner person change from one that is carnal to one that is spiritual. But when he speaks here, he uses the language of a journey when he says, depart. Maybe Paul is thinking about his own journey, the one he recalled before King Agrippa when he needed to present proper identification as to who he was. When Paul departed from Jerusalem with letters authorizing him to bring back bound in chains any who named the name of Jesus Christ, he departed bearing the seal of a prosecutor. He was commissioned to tear down and destroy. But on the journey, he changed direction. He met a new guy. He got a new name. He received a new seal that identified him with a new foundation. He returned to Jerusalem with unabashed boldness. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. I feel sorry for folks who don't have security in their salvation, who don't know for sure they bear the seal that forever identifies them with the Savior and the church for which he shall return and receive unto himself. That's why Hymenaeus and Philetus had such an easy time. That's why so many folks fall for anything now. They are not standing on the word of God. What a joy it is to know you have come from disgrace to grace, that you have departed from a life in sin. And by the grace of God, now nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had proper ID because he knew where he came from and was determined to continue in a different direction. Secondly, the counsel of Paul would have me to say emphatically that proper identification requires the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When his enemies raised a controversy about Paul's credentials as an apostle, claiming his ministry was illegitimate, Paul let the church know that he had proper ID because his calling was not of men, but his calling was of God. He didn't preach the gospel to uphold the family tradition. He didn't preach the gospel because he deemed himself one of God's few good men and volunteered for service. He didn't preach because somebody inflated his ego, telling him what a good public speaker he was. He preached because of the grace of God. He preached because of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He preached because of the high calling of God to preach Jesus crucified and resurrected, because he couldn't help himself. I'm glad it's not only the preacher who has to acknowledge a high calling. Yes, the preacher's work is special. The pastor's calling is a gift of grace. But anyone who is identified with the Church of Jesus Christ has to acknowledge a call to service. If you've been converted and you haven't figured out yet that God wants you to do something, it makes me think your identification has been falsified. You did a whole lot of stuff when you weren't a Christian. You did a whole lot when you were on the other road. Now that you've changed direction, don't get lazy. Don't get laid back and think you will have the fruit of the Spirit with no labor. Stir up the gifts that are in you. Use the talents the Lord has given you. Faith without works is a clear sign your credentials need to be checked because your identification is not in order. The Council of Paul suggests that along with being converted and called into service, proper ID requires credibility, being faithful to the truth of the word as it is proclaimed in and by Jesus Christ. That's why Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a worker that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said there is some strange doctrine being preached, Timothy, by men whose seal is uncertified. But you, be credible, Timothy. Put people in remembrance of the gospel that is faithful and true, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you may be converted, you may have been called into service, but you can do the church more harm than good if you're not credible, if you are mishandling the word. You can lead people astray, you can drive people away, you can give the church and Jesus a bad name by not knowing what you're talking about. That's why Paul told Timothy, shun profane babblings. Don't get yourself caught up in all the foolish talking in the congregation. You've got some folk in the church who rather trust their homespun theology than hear sound doctrine and biblical teaching. There are some in your congregation, Timothy, who want to be teachers, but they don't understand their own words. They're not credible. But you, who are properly identified, you teach what I taught you. Teach the Holy Scriptures, which you have known from a child is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You can't believe any old thing and be properly identified with the Church of Jesus Christ. A man or woman ought not be able to stand behind a sacred desk and tell you just anything. You ought not leave uninformed and be an unfaithful witness. Be credible with the word of the Lord. Converted, all credible. All these are required, but there is at least one more piece. Proper identification requires commitment. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. That good thing which was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. The Lord's church needs both pastor and people to have their commitment anchored in the rock. He needs pastors after his own heart. He needs people who are willing to stop slipping and sliding, dibbling and dabbling, teetering and tottering on the fence. God needs some folk who will say unwaveringly, for God I'll live, and for God I'll die. The conversion that changed your direction will have little consequence for the kingdom of God if you are not committed to stay the course. Your being called into service won't mean much without a commitment to be on the job. You being a credible witness of the word will be of no effect without a commitment to put the word out. I know the road is rough sometimes. I know the going gets tough sometimes. But Jesus wants some workers who will keep their hands on the plow. Jesus needs some workers who, like Nehemiah, will stay on the wall and not come down because they are being talked about and disrespected. When I feel like I can't go on, when I feel like I want to come down from the wall, that's when I see Jesus praying in the garden. I hear his words of commitment, not my will, but thy will be done. When I see Jesus, his dusty feet, his nail-scarred hands, his thorn-crossed brow, his knees beat under the weight of the cross, I know the cross is a symbol of suffering, an emblem of shame. To the unbelieving world, it is foolishness. I know the cross places me in the company of murderers and thieves, but it was at the cross I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there, by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. No doubt about it, Jesus was committed. He went all the way, and I'm going all the way with him. Have proper identification, church, with our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our friend, and he will bring us all the way with him. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless the wonderful name of Jesus, and glory be to God. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen. Amen. We give glory to the one true living God through his son, Jesus Christ, who empowers us with the Holy Spirit to live out this life. Thank you, Pastor Owens, for that riveting sermon. And once again, reminding us that we do need proper identification. We need this identification to belong to Jesus, saints. We need to know who we are and whose we are. God has not called us to a pew, a clique, or an office title, or even a denomination, which all have their place. But God has called us sinners to repentance, forgiveness, and a relationship in Christ that equals to discipleship. There are three things that God requires to follow him via his son, Jesus. First, Jesus requires our full attention be solely upon him, so much that it looks like what the world knows as hate. But we cannot be his disciples. Luke 14, verses 26 and 27 states, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and moreover, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Secondly, Jesus doesn't desire followers who aren't aware of the ramifications of discipleship. He charges us to look it over, calculate the risk, and go over the budget and see if you have what it takes to complete the project and limit risk of embarrassment and shame. Luke 14, verse 28 says, for which of you wanting to build a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost, whether he has enough to complete it, lest perhaps one has laid a foundation and is not able to finish. All those looking in will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. But what king going to engage another king in war will not first sit down and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet the one coming against him with 20,000? Otherwise, while he is yet at a distance, he sends an envoy and asks for the terms of peace. In the same way, therefore, every one of you who does not forsake all his possessions cannot be my disciples. Lastly, for anyone who desires to relinquish their rights to self-service, those who realize their sinful state before God and that he has displayed his love for you and I through the sending of Jesus Christ to die on the cross on our behalf, God wants this. He wants your mouth and your heart to bear witness. Romans 10, verses 9 and 13 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart there is believing unto righteousness, and with the mouth there is confession unto salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all and rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My brother, my sisters, man, woman, boy, or girl, I hope these requirements don't burden you to the point of turning away from God's love manifested through Christ. I do hope that it brings light to the pure and holy standard of God that he allows sinners like myself to participate in. I beg of you to challenge your relationships. I plead with you to count the cost of following him, and I pray that after reviewing where you stand, what you're willing to give up, and lastly, if we make the decision to give our entire lives to Jesus, we will believe it wholeheartedly on the inside and making public confession on the outside. If you're in the San Bernardino area, we are the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church located at 1575 West 17th Street, San Bernardino, California. You can visit our website at newhopenbc.org, or you can email us of your decision or you're inquiring about following Christ at info@newhopenbc.org, or you can call us at 909-887-2526. But if you're not in the area, find your local body of churches and let somebody know that you desire to follow Jesus. You desire to be saved, and ask them, what must you do going forward? Because God is waiting for you with open arms, and so are we as his body. God bless you, and may God keep you.
Yahweh, oh, 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 oh. Yahweh. It's David G. What a beautiful song. You've been listening to Hope Is Alive right here on Studio W. Amen, amen. Wow. Hey, that was Hope Is Alive right here on The Buzz. And we air Hope Is Alive each and every Sunday at noon on the West Coast and at 3 p.m. on the East, and that makes it 2 Central. And now it's time for Meet the Press. Sister Gill.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Okay. I think this is the first time you've been on this end of the hot seat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you asked for this.
But not first in my life. Not first in my life. But, yeah. First on that. Hope is alive. I think it was better than being in court. So, yeah.
Well, you brought this one on yourself. Okay. Yep. This is what you get. Okay. And I know Deacon Mouthpiece put you up to it, didn't he? Didn't he have something to do with it?
Know anything about it.
Yeah, of course not. Hey, Dr. Owens and Minister Newsom, I don't know what the deal is. She takes about 13 vacations a year. So I don't know what the problem is. So I'm going to let Minister DeCora Newsom start off. He has a question for you, and of course, you know I have a few.
Thank you, Brother Brown and Sister Beth. We are glad to have you back. We almost lost control without you. So,
no, don't even say that.
No. I know. My question is: I know that in our life we have many people that we look up to that influence us in our lives, whether it be parents, family, friends, or just public figures. But I wanted to ask you: what person in the Bible do you relate to the most, and how do you see yourself in him or her?
That's a difficult question, but can be answered. And I'm going to preface this by saying this lady's story was my story. I relate to Hannah in the Bible, 1 Samuel, first chapter. And the struggles she had with infertility and the things she went through and how she blessed God she went to the temple every year and she gave an offering and blessed God even though she was suffering. And so I found myself directly experiencing infertility, and it was for 9 years we prayed for a child and had many people praying for us, even Miles Monroe, touched and agree and pray, and just having, you know, different people pray, but not until God said so, it didn't happen. And so I relate best to Hannah and her struggles and how I promised the Lord that I would give my child, and I actually have two children, so both children, into the Lord. But her story was my personal story and my personal struggle. So if anyone from the Bible that I kind of relate to and I experienced it and shared, it would be Hannah from the Old Testament.
Thank you for that, Sister Beth. That's such an incredible testimony. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, Sister Gill, this has been a journey for us, and I have another question to ask that's not even on this program so far, but I'm just going to go here. Before assuming the role that you took with Gospel Explosion, and thank you so much for doing this for us, folks, and we haven't announced that, Sister Gill, this is her last program. I hope she'll come back as a guest co-host sometime if she feels like it. But the work that you've done has been absolutely incredible. And I'm going to tell a little bit about the beginning at my next question, but yeah, oh yeah, okay. At the very beginning. You remember the first day?
I do. Take it in my boots.
We'll get to that. Hold on. I'm saving that, but it's savory. I'm saving that one. Okay, so okay. Before assuming the role that you took with us on the Gospel Explosion and Hope is Alive, gospel music has always been a part of your witness and your work in church. What do you love about gospel music and its place in the ministry of the church?
Well, it is true. I've been involved in gospel music for a very long time, since a child, because my dad's family was a singing family. And for whatever reason, I'm sure the Lord had a plan. He does have a sense of humor. My family, who always had a choir, had me waving my arms in front of them. As a small child, I did not know what I was doing. And they were incredible singers, but gospel music has been very much a part of my life. But gospel music, to me, is God's good news sung to the tune of music. And the neat thing about gospel music is that anybody can sing gospel music. The word says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So that's directed toward everyone, except for those who do not know the Lord. When I was younger, I used to love, and I'm from the Midwest, so I used to love passing, you know, churches, and the churches would have their windows open. And what would you hear? You know, the stomp of the feet, the tambourine. That's why I love the tambourine so much. And the organ playing, and then just people just praising the Lord and singing. And you know what? Today, you know, gospel music encourages, it brings joy and happiness, and it brings people closer to the Lord. So in many instances, the gospel music that people hear will bring them. It's the word that keeps them. So that's why that's what I love about gospel music and its place in the ministry of the church, because it's the first thing people hear, but it's the word that captures them and keeps them.
Amen. Amen. You and I, we've talked about this many times on how gospel music and heals. Music, good music in general, yes, heals, but gospel music, there's that spiritual element about it that just has that healing power with it, that comes along with it. And now Dr. Owens has a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, I got something for her, but I'm not going to put it on the internet. I'm not going to do her like that. I'll keep it real. I'll keep it real, real polite. Music.
He said polite. tell us what you really think.
Music ministry, much like the preaching ministry, you don't always know the impact that you have on people. You just exercise your gifts and hope that somebody is touched, inspired, that you make a difference. But a lot of times you don't know what kind of difference you're making. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, as you have functioned in this role, particularly in this medium, what kind of feedback have you gotten about the music and the messages that would encourage us who do it blindly, if you will, to keep on doing it?
Well, it is true. Sometimes you just don't know the impact, the full impact that you have. You just know that you continue to be blessed as you do it. But, and Brother Brown knows this because he bought me a flag. As we traveled all over the United States, I put that little, you know, Studio W Buzz flag out, and then I've been able to share with the people that I knew who are travelers, hey, you know, there's gospel music and there's a church service that you're able to hear on Studio W. And so I'd give them the information. And so just receiving journal feedback from my friends all over the United States. And then there's been occasions when I've been on, you know, on the broadcast, and in the, you know, involved in the service. And I've had people text me during it, you know, and I'm like, well, I can't text you back. I'm on the radio. And so we know people are listening and they're receiving, and that's the good news. And then also, Brother Brown, I believe you had a friend that was collecting stats on Studio W, Hope is Alive. And it was real encouraging to hear that. Not only were people listening and tuning in, but they were staying and returning. That's encouraging. So if I could say anything, there are people listening, and people listening all over the United States. And even though we may not understand or able to hear the full impact, we know that we are having one, because there is a population of people that are out there that can't go to church, or maybe they're working, or maybe, you know, they're in a place where they're not comfortable enough to assemble with the church family or the congregation or congregants, but they feel comfortable enough to tune into Gospel Explosion or Hope is Alive, and they're able to receive God's word in song and in word.
Amen. You know, I can attest to that, because we have listeners now, Longview, Texas. We have Sylvania, Georgia, Richmond, Virginia, Petersburg, Washington, D.C., New York, Chicago, and we even have listeners in Panama, Costa Rica, South America, Canada, over in the U.K. Of course, it's a lot later over there now, but, right, you know, right, they can go back and they can listen to it on the website. We always encourage people. Go to the archives. And we designed it so now that there is an actual archive tab on the main page. Well, you know, it's no longer a drop down. You can go right to the archives, and you can hear this program in about 24 hours. And I encourage that you share. But and also, Beth, you know, while we're doing Gospel Explosion, we get text messages on. Yeah, we're getting text messages, requests to hear certain gospel songs. You know,
right.
And
well,
I know for.
Right,
right. And with you and Deacon Gill traveling around the country, and I know you have your Studio W FedEx. Thank you so much for that. And I've even talked to, it's the president of, an RV association that you belong to, I believe. There's a lady that I spoke to, and, we shared information with her. So we know that, this is an absolute blessing, and I just want to thank you so much. I want to get to something that I know Dr. Owens has another question, and Minister Newsom has one as well. And I want to take the audience back a little bit. And it would be 3 years here in March, when the church was shut down, and we came, and I was called. I said, I'm going to repeat this, because I was talking to, Reverend McKenzie, last week, on how, when church shut down, I said, oh no, what are we going to do? So I called Reverend McKenzie, and he tells this story, and it's really magnificent, and it tells you about the Holy Spirit. And, he said, he started not to take the call, and I called him up, and I said, Reverend McKenzie, what are we going to do? He said, Brother Brown, I was just praying. I said, I have an idea. Why don't we take it on air? Why don't we do a program on air? And we didn't have the name Hope is Alive or the Gospel Explosion. Well, we did have Gospel Explosion, but we didn't have Hope is Alive. And so Reverend McKenzie said, let me call Dr. Owens, right? And about 5 minutes later, my phone was ringing. It was Dr. Owens. and it was just magnificent. And then I think we went to First Sunday. Then I said, I need a co-host. And the Holy Spirit led me to you. I knew who you were, and I always, and Deacon Gill is a great friend of mine. But you and I, the only conversation we've ever had was about music. We sang together, but it was also about Caleb, your son. And,
right.
Otherwise you didn't say a whole lot, and I don't know what and how there's a reason why the Holy Spirit led me to you to ask if you would be my co-host. And, when I first approached, I called Deacon Gill and I asked if that would be okay. He said, well, let me check. And so when I talked to you, you said, Brother Brown, I don't know. I said, don't worry about it. We got this. Okay. But you took on the role, and it's something that you were, for lack of a better word, fearful of doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask this. What would you say about having faith and courage and addressing your fears? And what has this experience done for you? Has it changed you, encouraged you, or motivated you? Or kind of give us your take on that, addressing your fears.
Brother Brown, goodness gracious, I probably, if I was diagnosed, you know, I was a social worker, so if I was diagnosed, I would be diagnosed with a severe anxiety. Now, some people have fears, but anxiety just means your body takes over and does its own thing. Ever since I was very little, and I used to sing, I used to be a gymnast and dancer. Before every recital, I'd throw up, but, you know, I'd have the headache and almost pass out. And so when you asked me to do the radio broadcast, you know, to be your host, it was like almost like down dog, you know. I can't have this fear raging in my body. And so I had to go into prayer for every New Year, pre-New Year celebration with Dr. Fairley. We would put our concerns down, and my concern was always, I'm fearful. I want to do the Lord's work, but I'm fearful. And I just had to step out on faith on this one. It's like, I have never co-hosted anything. What are you talking about? But I couldn't allow that to rage up. So I did a lot of self-talking in my mind, thinking, oh, I'm so defeated, I can't do this. But I had to trust God. And when you trust him, you believe in him and you trust him, then that means you're letting go of your own wills, thoughts, and desires, and what you think about yourself, and you allow him to work through you. And so that's what I had to do. So the way I conquered my fear is I gave it to the Lord, basically. And you know me, I like things in writing. So I don't shoot too well from the hip because I want to be able to say all that's needed to say. So that's when I started working with you and then writing up the programs and stuff. So if anything, if anyone's out there struggling with wanting to do God's work and wanting to do more, but you're just fearful, you just got to trust God and allow him to work through you. I'm sure in my life I've missed many opportunities, many blessings because of my fear. But now I just say, okay, come on, Lord, and go for it. He'll never give a desire to you or never put something before you that he hasn't already ordained, and it's already been before him.
Wow.
He's just waiting on us.
You know,
he's just waiting on us.
Oh, man, my. You said a lot there, and I want Dr. Owens to jump in right on that very thing about having fear and Sister Beth giving it to the Lord and trusting in him. Because Dr. Owens, the first day, she was texting me. She said, I'm shaking in my boots. I said, you're doing fine. I said, breathe. You're doing okay. But then after that, Dr. Owens, right after that, she just took off.
Yeah.
Would you please?
Well, that's what happens when you have a talk with the Lord. He gives you the energy, the strength, the zeal, the vision to take off.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm more interested in the last conversation she had with him, because I want to know where he told her to take off to this time.
That's a great question. Yeah, I want to know too. Inquiring minds. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to make sure that she heard the voice talking to her and not a party call where he's talking to somebody else.
That's cute.
So I want to know what's next. I want to know what's next in ministry, because I don't want to hear about the vacations and the trips in the mobile bus and all that. I want to know what's next ministry wise. Because I'm going to stay by the door waiting for her to come back through it, quite frankly.
Okay. Oh, no.
We all need a vacation and a sabbatical. You know, black folks can't even spell sabbatical, so I understand. We need to get away fast and fast. I'm like, get in that mobile thing, go up in the mountains and talk with the Lord and have a vacation. Come on back now, dear.
That's good.
You know what? Just like the Lord, I do not know what God has planned for me, but I rest assured I am certain that he has prepared me for whatever it is. And I don't stand in this position unilaterally or alone because I'm married. So whatever the Lord has for both Mike and I, we kind of work in tandem and minister in tandem. So, I mean, in the past, we've taught Sunday school for couples. In the past, we've worked on sound at another church. So we work in tandem. So whatever it is, I have to stay ready and prepared. But I know once God closes I don't want to say one job, but one door, he opens another to another experience, because I can name some things I've done in the past I just didn't understand. I did it, and then he moved me on to the next one, you know. So whatever his next assignment he has for me, I don't do it alone. I know I do it with my husband, and he's prepared both of us for whatever it is.
Hey, Brown.
Yes.
You got another opening over there and Hope is Alive with the great Michael Bill on. I know I can find something for him to do.
That might work. That might work.
Hey, let's see, Dr. Horns, do you have my number? Give me a call. Let's talk off air, okay?
We get a job going for Mike and Beth.
That's exactly.
But you know, with the fervent that I work with and energy, I just pray that I'm an example to others. We are ambassadors of Christ. And so it is always my prayer that whatever I do, that somebody's looking and imitating so that they can carry on, whether it's a ministry that I did, move it on up and a little bit closer to the Lord or whatever. So that's always, look, my parting gift, that I pray that whatever I've done, that that has been in Christ, and that people have seen Christ through me, and that they take it up one notch closer to him. So,
well, you are certainly a really great example, Sister Beth. I want to just thank you again, because I've noticed just like each and every week you design the program, and you send it out to everyone who participates. It's in order, it's precise, and you know, takes skill itself to be able to organize it. Also getting other than Dr. Owens, getting the other ministers and deacons to come in and participate in the program, setting the theme, the order of things. So, you know, it makes my job a lot easier. So I'm definitely going to miss you. I hope I have someone at least that you teach your replacement well, or, you know, the programming that you design and stuff of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Minister Newsom, do you have another question for Sister Beth?
I think Dr. Owens asked my question, but I will ask you this. Are you going to miss us?
Yeah. Yeah, we want to know. That's a good question. We want to know, Sister Beth. Okay, fess up.
Well, look, I'm not going anywhere yet, but yeah, of course. Of course. You know, I love the ministry. Now, this is, being on the radio was just another notch up. Again, it's something that I've never done before. And so, yes, we've become a family. Brother Brown and I have become a family. And just the ministers, including you, Dr. Owens, you, Minister Newsom, and Reverend Chambers, who else? Reverend McKenzie, Reverend Carpenter,
Reverend Williams,
Reverend Cook. Reverend Williams, just a variety of people, and then working with our lay people, our deacons and deaconess. I mean, goodness gracious, what a family we've come, you know, to the fact that I just text and people text me back right away. It's like, and the comments I get, what an awesome opportunity it is to share God's word. And then I will also tell people that are frightened, you know, this is a radio station, so if you want to read your comment, nobody knows. And this gives you the practice that you need so that you feel at ease sharing God's word, whether it's prayer or whatever. So, Yeah, definitely.
Right. And we can't leave out Reverend Martin. We can't leave Reverend Martin out.
Oh,
or,
yeah, yeah.
Or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sister Beverly Haynes.
Fire has helped. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Reverend Quinlan, a group of beautiful men and women of God, and, you know, who have been a part of the bigger family of
right.
Hope is Alive.
That's
definitely.
Right. Along with the layman's ministry. We can't leave out the layman's ministry, the women's ministry.
Yeah.
Oh my God! We even had the children. The children's ministry. It's just like you say, it's a family affair, and it's wow! We're definitely going to miss you. So feel free to jump in, come in anytime you want to if you have the opportunity. See, Dr. Orms, I'm not going to let her go completely. Okay. Dr. Owens, is there anything else you want to ask, Sister Gill?
No, I think we can release her now.
Okay.
Far enough for us to ask the questions we want to ask off camera.
But why?
Oh, boy. Sister Gill, are there any parting words that you have for the Hope is Alive audience?
You know I do. Brother Brown, thank you for asking me nearly 3 years ago to be part of Studio W and allow me to spread my wings to grow the Gospel Explosion and Hope is Alive programs. Thank you for all of your encouragement and trust you had in me and the friendship we've developed over the years. I want to thank my husband and children for their patience, love, and support they have given me over the past 3 years. My husband in particular for getting me needed equipment to allow me to be on the broadcast during our travels. I'm also thankful for my family being that remnant bush, filling in and program emergencies. To Dr. Owens and the many Studio W participants, that's the ministers, laypersons, congregants, and the youth, Thank you all for your willingness to share your gift of ministry while participating in Hope is Alive program. Finally, a special thank you to all of our Studio W Buzz listening audience for tuning in to listen to Gospel Explosion Hope is Alive. Even though today may be my last time sharing with you, please continue to tune in, listen, learn, and share with others God's gift of salvation given by His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, remember to love God, keep Jesus in your heart, and allow His Holy Spirit to lead your every footstep. This is your co-host, Sister Beth Gill, and I'm signing out.
Oh, wow. Thank you for that. I'm going to ask Dr. Orms, please close us in prayer, close us out in prayer, and please include Sister Gill's mom.
Please, thank you.
I'm going to defer to Minister DeCorey because I'm in transit now, and I don't want to run over nobody.
All right.
Minister DeCorey.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us the strength to continue in the furtherance of the gospel and to speak to your people worldwide so that the hearts might be softened to hear what thus saith the Lord. Father, we thank you for Hope is Alive and Studio W Buzz Radio, and we thank you for Brother Brown and Sister Beth just leading and co-leading this radio show, Father, to encourage the masses. Father, we thank you for her and her work. We know her labor is not in vain, Father, and we know her reward will be great in heaven. We also want to lift up her mother, Father God, wherever she is. We ask that you touch right now, that you stabilize her, that you keep her, and that you always remember her, Father, because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. So, God, we thank you for all that you have done through this mighty woman of God and through all those who are surrounded and connected to her, Father, because that we know they have been blessed in a mighty way. So, Father, right now we thank you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Minister DeCorey Newsom. Thank you, Reverend Arthur Chambers. And Sister Gill, much love to you, my sister. And keep in mind, you're going to always be with us in our hearts, all right? And that wonderful message by Dr. Michael Andrew Owens. Keep it locked right here on Studio W The Buzz. There's more music and more programs to come. Studio W. Enjoy. This song is called Hallelujah.
Mighty God,
yeah.
Mighty God,
we worship.
You have done, my beloved.
You have done, my beloved.
Odogu, 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 Papa.